little pieces of paper and where they're going in their Bibles. But I'm going to go slow and direct you and be very deliberate today. Title of the message today is How Shall We Live? You know, I asked last week, I premised my message last week because we're just coming off this election, and I said last week that, within the church, different people voted different ways, so I never make the assumption everybody voted for the same person. So I asked for politeness and respect last week from you, and I'm going to continue to ask for politeness and respect from you. That means that when I'm preaching, I don't want any political comments. I don't want to hear any of it. I just want you to listen to me today, okay? And that's out of respect to other people in the room, okay? And because I'm going to talk about it a little bit today again. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit today again because it's life right now. I mean, you can't hide it. I mean, unless we're all going to go out in the field, we can dig a hole and put our heads in a hole. We could do that, but we're not going to do that. So I'm just going to deal with the elephant in the room, and at least this week. But I think next week will probably be a Thanksgiving message, because isn't next week the weekend before Thanksgiving? Yeah, it'll probably be a Thanksgiving message next week, okay? So, just politeness today. That's all I'm asking. And I don't want to talk about what's going on. I want to talk about the election, because whenever there's an election, there's consequences. Elections have consequences. That's just a fact, okay? And because, you have a leader in place, and then you have a potential new leader coming in, and it seems like that's going to happen, but that's not official yet, okay? So they're calling the president-elect, but until the states certify all their votes, and that isn't supposed to happen until December, by the way, until the Electoral College says we give you our 27 votes or however many votes each state says have, it's not official. Again, that's supposed to happen in December, but right now, it's looking that way, that there'll be a change in the administration, okay? And whenever there's a change, there's going to be new policies, okay? And so new laws might be passed, and they're going to have an effect on people, and it might be very personal for people, okay? And now, last week, I talked about a couple of cultural issues. They are cultural issues, but they're biblical issues. I talked about a couple issues last week, and I talked about the sanctity of human life. That's a big elephant in the room. That's huge, okay? So it's there. And we talked about it a little bit last week. And I talked about the definition of what a marriage is last week. Again, because it's a biblical thing. God says in a man and a woman, they come together, and that's it. And any other combination, two guys and two girls, then he basically calls it homosexuality or lesbianism in the Bible. I mean, so I dealt with it last week, okay? That's what the Bible says. And I dealt with it last week because regardless of how you voted, and I don't know how you all voted, and regardless of how you voted, I would just pray that as Christians that we would look at the Bible and take into account those issues. And take into those account those issues today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 4 years from now, 8 years from now. Or if the Lord comes in the meantime, that's all great and dandy, because the point will be mute, because he'll have come and taken his church people away and we'll be in heaven, assuming you're his church people. But, we should think about those issues, because there's impending things that are going to come, going on with the government now, okay, where if those things are sacred to you, then you're going to need to learn to trust God. I told you last week, as the church, what are we supposed to do? I said, let's not... How do I say it? Certainly, let's not be violent. Let's not be vicious. Let's tame our tongue. Let's tame our actions. That's pretty much what I said. I said our responsibility is to live as salt and light. You know why? Because that's also what the Bible says. So I don't just pick and choose what I want. I talk about sanctity of human life. I talk about the definition of marriage. Well, God also says that we're not supposed to act like idiots. We're supposed to be salt and light to the earth. So, I mean, you define what idiots means. That's an open-ended term, but I mean, can I just use polite, respectful? Pastor, why are you still talking about this? Well, because it's still here, and I want to deal with it because next week's Thanksgiving. I heard something this week, and it disturbed me to no end. Yep, it, it is politics, but I don't usually talk about politics. I keep it out of the pulpit. I really try to encourage God's people to be God's people. That's what I want you to do. So I pay very little attention to politics. But I heard something this week that disturbed me to no end. You know, I said a minute ago, elections have consequences. And what I heard, and the consequences of this election as it relates to some of those issues I've already mentioned, may cause you to have a little bit of anxiety and fear if those things are important. Okay? I know I have a little bit of anxiety. And I'll admit to you, I know we're not supposed to as Christians, we're supposed to cast it upon the Lord. When you have anxiety, that's a little fear building up, and we got to give that to the Lord. I told you last week we need to pray. Didn't I tell you that? God's sovereign, God's still in control, give it to the Lord and pray. So when I feel that anxiety and that little fear going on in there, just give it to the Lord in prayer. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm warning you because I know you may feel it too. You may feel it too. If there's a change, and it looks like there's going to be with the new presidency, he has a different agenda than the present agenda, okay? I call it a secular humanistic agenda, meaning it's an agenda that has nothing to do with this. It's all about what man thinks, okay? So that issue of the sanctity of human life, basically I'm just going to tell you that right now, you know, people have abortions and you can get abortions and you know, I'm always sensitive that may be very much a part of our past. So as I stand here, when I mention those words, I'm not trying to beat you up about the past or your family member from the past or your friend you know from the past. You know what? God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins and says if we just say, Father, forgive me, and he forgives us regardless of any sin in the past. So I want to be sensitive to that issue, even when I ever even mention that word, because I know it's touched our lives. May not have touched you personally, but might have touched your family member. Might have touched your friend. Okay? Right now, there's a law in the land that the president just promoted that basically, do you know that if a woman is having an abortion and the baby accidentally gets born? Did I just say what I just said? Yes, I did. If you're having an abortion and the baby accidentally gets born on the table, okay? President's pushing the legislation to enact to basically, you got to save the baby. I'm going to tell you right now, the new administration ain't going to be save the baby. They're going to tell you that the baby needs to be terminated on the table. Now, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but that offends me. So if I have a little bit of anxiety, I have a little bit of fear, I'm going to give it to God, but that bothers me. But I'm just showing you the rub, okay? And so you're going to hear a lot about it. That's why I'm going to speak about it, because you're going to hear a lot about it. So you know what? You're going to hear about it from me. You're going to hear about it anyways. You're going to hear about it in the newspaper. You're going to hear about it on the TV, okay? You're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it from your friends. You're going to hear about it from your family members, probably talk about it at Thanksgiving dinner. I don't know, okay? But I'm just telling you that that's going to be the stated policy of the new administration coming in. That baby will be terminated, okay? Now, we already have abortion, but definition of a family is going to be further muddied. It's already muddied, okay? You know, not a man and a woman, it's a man and a man and a woman, and pretty soon it might even be something else. I don't know, you know, but just that's already muddied. That'll just be solidified, okay? Terrible. Been hearing about it for 4 years. And wow. You're going to hear about it more. You're going to hear about your taxpayer-funded dollars and where they go. And you're going to find out that your taxpayer-funded dollars are going to go to support what I just talked about on the table. That's what you're going to find out. That's coming. You know, I believe in honoring the governing authorities, but I've actually been thinking about rebelling and cheat them out of their tax dollars. I've been thinking that. I'm sorry, in my flesh. I'm just telling you in my flesh. And I'm being recorded right now, so I probably got the IRS. I'll be hearing from them. You know? No, I'm not going to do that. But you get the point. You know, why is this happening? It's a no-brainer to me. I heard a case where the baby was born and the nurses hid the baby from the doctor. Yeah, because the nurses weren't going to let it happen. nurses said, not on our watch. And the nurses took the baby away before the doctor could come back and terminate the baby. Pretended the baby was gone. Oh boy, you don't think that didn't stir up the old hornet's nest there in that hospital? Oh boy. Yeah, but I got to teach the whole council of God. That's why we're talking about it, okay? You and I live in a world right now where we have to make everybody happy. Well, most everybody happy. But that's the mantra. That's what the media presents. Did I say the media? Yes, I did. You don't listen to the news, because you know what? It's not really the news. They're promoting an agenda. All right? Corporate America, the media. Excuse me, forgive me. Higher education. I worked for a higher education institute. I know what they stand for. I still have friends there. I know who, you know, anyways, I'm just going to tell you. They go, but God, everybody's got to be happy. Most everybody. So the church, that's us. We had a choice to vote for a guy who uses coarse language and has a background that's a little bit, can I use the word sketchy? Okay. But he's implemented some policies to protect the unborn and maybe to lean toward the redefinition of what a real family is in terms of being a man and a woman. And then the other candidate smiles a lot, and he's polite and he's respectful, and he's probably going to be our new president. But I'm scared of the policies that he's going to implement, even though he smiles a lot. Okay. Why am I saying all this? I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say all this. Because apart from whatever happens, because elections have consequences, the church cannot surrender on those issues. We cannot surrender on the life of the unborn. We cannot surrender on the definition of a marriage. We cannot surrender on the definition of sexuality. We just can't. We can't. That's not the only reason I'm talking about this today. Because I told you I have this little fear, this little anxiety thing, which I give to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We're not supposed to yell at other people because of it, because they have different views than we do. We're not supposed to swear at them. You're going to hear about something. I can't remember what they call it. I think it's called the Equality Act or something like that. Okay? And basically the gist of it is there's going to come a point when you're not going to be allowed to speak up and say what you think. You kidding me? I kid you not. In other words, they want to take away your First Amendment rights to free speech. That's what's coming. Okay? It's already happening. How you say that, Pat? Just give it some time. You are going to be told that you have to celebrate sexual promiscuity. You just have to. Whether it's married, you know, you forget, they don't have to be married. You got to just celebrate it, okay? You're going to have to celebrate what the Bible calls sexual perversion. You know, men with men, and, you know, you get the idea. Women with women, I don't want to get too graphic there. You're going to have to celebrate that. You know, celebrate it. You're going to have to celebrate sexual mutilation if you want to just change what your gender you are, you know, and that's coming. That's what they're saying. In other words, you're going to lose your First Amendment rights to free speech. Oh, the challenges ahead. They're not saying it that way, but that's what they're saying. They've already been saying it. They've been saying it the last 4 years. Oh, these church people that speak up and they need to get with the program and get on board. That's been a mantra for 4 years now. And before those 4 years. It didn't just create this 4 years. It's been going on, but it's getting worse. So, oh, the challenge is ahead. I want you to know something. God is still God. God hasn't moved. He's in the same place he's always been. God is still sovereign. So, what is he calling for the church to do in the light of all this? Maybe this is what, you know, maybe this is what he's calling us to. He wants us to face this. If that's what he wants, then, because God's sovereign and God works in ways and you and I don't understand. I mean, look at the Bible, some of the things that happen. A lot of times bad things happen to Israel. Okay, if this is what he wants for us as a church, then I guess we have to just say so be it. We got to deal with it. And we will. But I pray this today. I pray that what's going on right now is not Romans 1, where God has just kind of turned away and he's saying, I turn you over to your depraved indifference. I pray it's not that. Because then it's just going to get worse and worse and ugly. So, I'm discouraging you, aren't I? Go read Romans 1. He turned mankind over to the depraved indifference, their humanity. He said, you want to sin? Go ahead and sin. Go ahead. I pray this is not his judgment on the United States of America. The greatest nation in the world. And I'm allowed to say that. There are presidents in the past that wouldn't have said that. No names mentioned. They would have said, well, we're equal with everyone. No, great nation. Okay, in the past. No names mentioned. I don't want to get in trouble either. Besides, nobody cares about me anyways, but that's okay. I'm not going to tell you who. But you know, maybe this is what God's calling us to face. But I hope it's not Romans 1. What I pray is happening is that God has taken the church and he is sifting us right now. Remember in the Old Testament, they used to take the grain on the grain floor and they throw the sheaves and beat the sheaves and they'd throw the grain up in the air and they would sift out the good stuff. You know that stuff? You know that picture there? Maybe that's what God's doing here. I hope it's not Romans 1. I pray it's just a sifting. Okay? Sifting the grain. Sifting the grain so that we'll wake up and proclaim the gospel of grace. That we'll wake up and proclaim it in all of its fullness. And like I said last week, as we wake up, he's sifting us so that we can present the gospel of grace, so that we can be what I talked about last week, the salt and the light to the world. Remember the light? You don't hide it underneath a bowl. I heard something good in the last 2 weeks. Our potential new president, it's not official yet, is calling for unity. Calling for unity. That's a good thing. The question is does he mean it though? Okay. It's a good thing, but does he mean it? And this is where I'm disturbed now though. There are people out there, the president's supporters, who say that we need a blacklist. What you talking about, Pastor? Yeah, it's called a blacklist. I'm surprised they called it a blacklist because we're so politically correct and they didn't just call it a white list or a red list. They called it a blacklist, so that's what they called it. I'm just going to call it a blacklist, okay? And this is what the blacklist is. If you supported President Trump in any way, shape, or form in his policies, you go on the list. Sanctity of human life, you know those policies, you know the definitions of a marriage. I guess they got to put me on the list. Okay. If you supported him in any way, shape, they don't really care about me, though. They're talking about government people, predominantly, you know, government people, business people, you know, people who are important and have influence. But if you support him, you go on the list. And I didn't make it up. Go look at your news this week. It's not me. I'm not making this up. I want to shoot myself. And basically, you go on a list, and basically what that means is if there's any government jobs, you don't get the jobs. It's like it's the blacklist. You get blackballed, I guess. So that's what I heard. No names mentioned who it came from, by the way. But it's within the president's the potential new president's supporters. That makes me wonder what's he going to do with that? Because he's going to be the new president, I think. I think at this point, I think it's leaning that way. Maybe not. I don't know anything that happened. But what's he going to do with that? Because his people are the ones. Is that right? I've never heard that before. I never heard that before, ever in my lifetime. That there would be a new administration and they were calling for anything like that with the old administration and friends. That's a way to get rid of your enemies. Unless, of course, they agree and get re-educated. Re-educated. I think that's Korea. They sent you to these re-education camps. Well, if you get re-educated, you can have your government job. In other words, repent of your following and you can get off the list. You know what? Wait, church, there's a moral and a social and a political revolution that's taking place right now. Somebody close that back door, please. They call it, some people are calling themselves the progressive. They're progressive. They're progressive. Yeah, we need progress. We need moral, social, and political progress is what we need. It's a revolution. And guess who's in the middle of it all? You are. This is like a thorn. I wanted it to be a thorn today because I'm not going to pretend it's not there, and you need it not to pretend it's not there too. Okay. You just keep your eyes and ears open and you'll see. But know this. In the days ahead, be careful. You're going to be told what to think. You're going to be told about the new agenda, and don't you dare speak out against the new agenda. It's coming. And if you do speak out, you will be eliminated from public policy. You will be eliminated from any kind of leadership. That's the blacklist, okay? I wonder if there's a day we're going to be jailed. It'll be a crime to speak what you think. So, Pastor, you're supposed to be calming us down so we don't get all worked up and riled up and do things we're not supposed to do. I know I am, so... But I also said last week that what we do, we pray about this. But you know what? Got to be salt and light. Got to wake up. Wake up, folks. Wake up. So what are we going to do? We are going to pray. Thank you. I heard that. I did tell you to be quiet, but I'll take that one. Okay? I'll take that one and an amen, maybe. Okay? What are we going to do? Well, we could whine and complain and be uncivil, like the media has been the last 4 years, or we can pray like somebody just amended a minute ago. We can do that. I think we should pray. That's what I do. Okay. We're not going to whine. We're not going to complain. We might complain, but we're not going to cause civil unrest. We're not going to lie about our government officials and make things up because we hate them. We're not going to do that. That happened. We're going to pray. You know who we're going to pray for? We're going to pray for our president, the new president. I think he's the new president. We're going to pray for him. That's what we're going to do. So why are we going to pray for him? Now we're going to pray for God to work in his life. Okay? We're going to pray for God to work in his life. I heard one of you say salvation. Yeah, I'd like to think that. But how about just, you know, God influences leaders. I'd like to think that they influence leaders unto salvation. How crazy would that be if our new president became a born-again Christian? That would set the world upside down. Okay? We're going to pray for him. Because you know what? He's going to have to deal with his own people. They're already pecking at him to cut deals. I supported you and I want this. They're already nipping at him like... He's going to have to be a strong leader. We have to pray for him. He's going to have to deal with the people that want the blacklist. He's the one that's going to have to deal with that. So we should pray for him. He said he wants, you know, he wanted peace, you know, and he wanted to, you know, he said that. So let's pray that he meant it. But I don't care what happens, you know, no matter what happens, I'll tell you something right now. God can still do whatever God wants to do. Even with all the stuff I'm saying, God can, I don't know what God's doing, I don't know how he's doing it, I don't know what the time frame is, I don't like some of what I see, but God can still do whatever God wants to do. There was a guy in Old Testament times, a Babylonian guy named Cyrus, and God laid it on his heart to, by the way, I want you to send all those Jewish people you have captured in Babylon, I want you to send them back to Jerusalem. How about that one? so they can rebuild their place of worship. God did that. Cyrus, Ezra, book, chapter 1. Then there was another guy, Nebuchadnezzar. He captured a bunch of Israelites and took them to Babylon, okay? And he got all proud about himself. And what God did with Nebuchadnezzar is he called him to have illness, mental illness. And this Nebuchadnezzar guy wound up out in the field eating the grass. That's what God did to the king. Nebi, you're going to eat grass from now on. Because he thought he was special and said, oh, look at me and all that I've done. God said, you ain't done nothing. You're going to go eat some grass right now. But God lifted him back up, though, only so that later on he would praise and exalt the Lord. God did that with Nebuchadnezzar. You can go read it in the book of Daniel. It's in chapter 4, around verse 32 or somewhere in there. Okay? Read the whole context. Now, we're just going to be the church. And as the church, we're going to be honorable. We're going to try to be respectful. I mean, sometimes you have to work at it. Okay? We're going to be honorable. Be respectful, and if president, he's not even president-elect yet officially, but if Joe Biden becomes a president, we're going to pray for Joe Biden. That's what we're going to do. All right, that's what we're going to do. But in the meantime, we got to be the church. Because you know what the problem in all this is too? The church hasn't done what the church is supposed to do. It hasn't. I'm just being honest with you. I'm one of them crotchety pastors, and I'm just a little guy. I'm not big. I'm not important like any of the big wigs, the big names you hear. I'm not Chuck Swindoll. I'm not that guy, and I'm not MacArthur. I'm not any of the big guys, I'm just little Pastor Al over here in Bible Baptist Church. I'm not Andy Stanley. If you don't probably even know him. He's big too. I'm just me. But the church, we just kind of got uncomfortable. We got to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and preach the message of salvation through Jesus and really preach the gospel. The whole counsel of the Word of God. The church, if anything, has gotten kind of quiet or passive about some of those issues I've said. God is soft on those issues. Oh, we have to compromise a little bit. No, we don't. The Catholic Church, the Pope. Did you hear about the Pope? Pope's leaning toward it might not be so bad to... Anyway, I'm not even going to go where the Pope is going. I don't want to disparage the Pope. But that's the Catholic Church. They're always on the sanctity of human life and definition of marriage. They're always spot on, wow. And the Pope was, I call it waffling the other day. Now, we got to reach sinners. We got to be that salt and that light. And if we're going to do that, you got to teach them the whole counsel of God. I mean, you focus on Jesus, but you give them the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. So, if we've got to give them the whole counsel of God and focus on Jesus, what's the first thing we've got to do? I've just said the church has to do a whole lot. Well, we're going to start by Matthew chapter 8 there. Okay, how about, you're going to have to grow your faith. I've just presented something, I don't know about you and me, but if I was sitting on the side, I don't like what I heard. To me, that's thanks a lot, Pastor. Way to cheer us up on Sunday. That's how I'd be feeling. But you know what? We got to be the church. We got to deepen our faith in the Lord. Go to Matthew chapter 8 here, okay? And I want to look at verse 23 to 27 here. And, there was a whole lot of crowds following Jesus because he was doing wonderful things. He was healing people. And verse 23 says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? And he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves. And it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I ask you a question. It's rhetorical, so don't answer my rhetorical stuff today. Okay? You ever had a fight with your spouse? I told you don't answer. You get in trouble. You're going to have a fight after you leave today if you do. Okay. But you know, you ever had a fight with your spouse? Okay. And I'm telling you something. What happens is whether it's you or your spouse, you got stuff going on inside of here. And it's in there. And it stews like that stew I had the other night. And it just, you know, stew's always better when it sat there and it just warms for a while there. But you got stuff going on inside there. And all of a sudden, that stuff just comes out. And it erupts. But here's the point. What comes out was just like it was just laying dormant with inside. You know, it makes me think of the I've alluded to it, the lack of civility in our world these last few years. I'm talking about, you know, public discourse. The lack of civility. People thinking they can just say whatever they want. No respect. Politics kind of stuff. Even among evangelicals, though, I'm not going to just pick on people. Even within the church, saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, calling people names, making stuff up, anger. You know, that's been going on for 4 years now. But, you know, here's the point I want to make behind that. That comes from a place of fear inside. You know, something going on inside and then it just kind of comes out. I mean, as a church, we go, you know, I mean, I can dismiss the outside world because, can I say it this way, they don't know God or don't have God living inside of us, but we have to work on that and grow our faith, okay? I mean, I just read this account with Jesus in the boat. I'm going to be honest with you right now, I'd be waking Jesus up too and saying, save us, save us! That'd be me. I'm not going to pretend I'm one of the, you know, I'd be all over it, okay? Because I wouldn't, okay? Now, they're in the boat being swamped by the winds, and I'm in there with them. Wake up, Jesus. So that's exactly what they did in the account here. They woke them up because they were afraid of losing their lives. Now, I didn't read the parallel account, Mark chapter 4, in verse 38 there, because they woke him up basically, and they basically accused him and rebuked him for not caring. Okay? They said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? They didn't just say, save us. Wake up, teacher, don't you care if we drown? That's what they said to him, okay? So kind of like accusing him. So that's what they threw at him. Don't you care? Like us today. Lord, don't you care? And the Lord, you know how the Lord responded to them? And I think it's how he'd respond to us now. He said, oh, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? That's what he said to them. And the stuff we go through today and the things I've laid out and the things that are coming ahead. And why, oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? We're not in the boat, but we're in what we're in right now. We all have our feelings and emotions. But then in the story, of course, the account here, it's not just a story, it's an account, okay? He got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it says there was great calm. Well, that's why I said when we have things going on, you know when it's staring inside and it's anger or it's fear, we just got to pray and give it to God so that when it comes out, it comes out in an appropriate way, because Jesus will bring calm. For the disciples, the drowning, though, was a very real and present danger, wasn't it? You bet it was. I haven't been on the Sea of Galilee. I haven't been to Israel. I want to really go, but I really do want to go. I hear it's bad when you get in, when those waves start. Ooh, okay. But here, you know, in the account here, this is a point I want to bring out. In the account here, Jesus knew. For his disciples, the greater threat for them wasn't them dying at sea. But the thing that the disciple, what he knew was that the disciples needed to survive the storm, learning to trust in him. Okay. Their greatest threat wasn't dying at sea. They needed to grow in faith. You know, and that's what we need to do. That's what the church needs to do. Not this. By the way, I don't mean our church. I mean every church, the worldwide church. We need to grow in faith. So maybe we have some anxiety. Maybe things that are going on. We have anger. Well, I think God's calling us to have greater faith now. you know, greater faith marked by a confidence in Jesus. Confidence in Jesus, because our scripture reading, Colossians 1:17, says he holds all things together. That's what it says. It says he is before all things. He created all. I mean, you're before all things if you created all things. And it says he holds them together. Do you believe that? Amen. Yes. You think the moon's where it is by accident? If it's not, we got tidal waves going on right now, and it's hitting Florida, and there ain't going to be any Florida when it's done. So the moon needs to be where it is. No, he holds all things together. Everything is where it is, and he planned it like that. So, as the redeemed people of God, this is our moment to turn away from the temptation to doubt God. Don't doubt God. God's still in control. Don't doubt his faithfulness. God is still in control. We got to deepen our trust in him, because darker days are coming. They're on the horizon. I'm not a prophet. It's I'm just listening to what people are saying. And when I listen to what people are saying, I say, that's not good. Oh, that's not good. This is our moment, folks. Win or lose. But it's what we're going to do with it. We certainly don't want to be fighting amongst each other. And there's no need to be disrespectful and fighting those who, quote, can I say it this way, aren't in your camp either. Don't fight them either. Talk to them. Share what you believe. Share why you believe what you believe. It's hard. That's what you got to do. But it's all in here. Ultimately, God's going to be exalted. He's going to be exalted among the nations. The psalmist said in Psalm 46:10 that he will be exalted throughout the earth. That's why I mentioned before, I hope what's going on is not God's judgment, and it's just a Romans 1 thing where he's going to turn the United States over to its depravity, and it's all downhill from here. I don't want to be part of that. I hope it's not that. I hope it's a wake-up call to be salt and light. That's what I hope. So, you know what? Everything going on, you know what? What I'm really saying? We got to grow our faith and exercise. You got to exercise our faith is what we got to do. Exercise our faith. We got to use our words to build up the kingdom. We got to exercise our faith, but we got to use our words to build up the kingdom. That's James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You'll find James toward the back of the Bible there. Okay? James chapter 3. Right before Peter. Verses 9 to 10. You know what toxicity is? Toxicity. Say that one 3 times quick. Toxicity. It's a word used to describe poison or a pollutant that will cause harm when it's ingested. You probably buy some chemicals at the store and it says, this is toxic. Don't drink it. See, they think we're stupid. Says don't drink it, okay? But toxicity now is the way we talk to one another. Different kind of toxicity. It's how we talk to one another. In other words, we are toxic. Our words are toxic. So James warns against that. See, we're the Christians. We got to do what the Bible says. Chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is what James says. This is the Lord's brother. He says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. Some of your translations say men. I like men because that includes everybody. But we curse human beings or men who have been made in God's likeness. Can I just pause for a minute? With our tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings or men who have been made in God's likeness. So praise God, but yet we curse our fellow man / women. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Yeah, so in that there, James appeals to the glory of God, but at the same time, he appeals to the worth of our fellow human beings. And we need to remember that. People are people. It's wonderful to honor the Lord, but it's not okay at the same time to despise our fellow men or women. So that's why there's no place for us to use toxic words. I remember last week I told you there were spiritual forces at work out there. Don't you know that the Ephesians 6 says there's this battle going on in the heavenlies? The forces of evil and the forces of good are battling, and the forces of evil desire to work in people here on the earth. And so some people do what they do and say what they say because they're controlled by the negative spiritual forces, the evil forces. But that doesn't give you an excuse to call them a name. James says don't do that. They're still your fellow man. You're still your fellow woman. So praising God and cursing your fellow man is an affront to God. God doesn't like that. You know, as some time comes on and we get closer, closer to the transition here to for the presidency, if that happens. In fact, there is a transition. People are going to be probably taking their verbal shots. So what I'm saying to you is don't do it. Don't do it. Don't be like everybody else. Don't do it. Don't do it. Doesn't honor God. Doesn't reflect well for who we are as a people and a church. I know people have been doing it, but that doesn't give us an excuse to. Don't disparage the character of people. Don't disparage. I was going to say don't disparage motives, but don't disparage the character of people. But I am concerned about the blacklist. I want to say that people are doing things because they really believe it's the right thing to do. But when I hear that blacklist thing, it's like, I'm thinking like, wow. I had a flashback all of a sudden. I had a flashback to when there was a time and a place where they were going through this country, and if you had a shop and you happened to be a Jewish person, your shop was destroyed and you were probably killed or interned in a concentration camp because you were on the list. That was the flashback I had. Is that where we're headed? Because that kind of list will stir up people. That kind of list will divide people, because people are going to want to vent their frustration. So let's work on our faith and temper our words, because as believers, we have a unique responsibility to use our words appropriately. We have our responsibility to use our words in at least four different ways. One way is we need to promote the eternal kingdom of God. We do. We need to talk about the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom of God. You know, some people don't even believe there's a kingdom, right? They don't even believe there's a God. Or they may say, oh yeah, there's a God, but we don't care about him. He has nothing to do with us. Whatever. No, there is a kingdom of God. And we need to tell people there's a real God and a real kingdom of God. And we need to tell them Jesus is already reigning. Did you know that? He is. He's already reigning. He's already reigning. One day that he'll reign in his fullness, meaning he'll be in charge here too. In the meantime, God's patient. He desires that none should perish, that all should come to him in repentance. Otherwise, Jesus would be right here, right now, reigning right now. So he already is, but he's not yet in his fullness. And for the Christians, of course, the good news is positionally, we're already with them in heaven. That's what Ephesians 2:6 says. But you know what? We've got to use gracious language. Gracious language that honors and esteems people. Because you know what? People are created by God. Now, if there's somebody that you don't like politically, I don't know how to tell you this, but God loves them. So pray for them. Not just our president, those other people too. God loves them. I don't know how. I don't want to send shockwaves to you today, but I'll be an equal opportunity pastor today. Do you know that God loves Donald Trump? He does. Did you know that God loves Joe Biden? He does. He sent Jesus to die on a cross for their sins. Because they were created in his image, Genesis 1:17. So we should not disparage God's. No. So point people to the kingdom, okay? And speak biblical truth. Point them to the kingdom. Speak biblical truth. Speak it with conviction, but speak it with compassion. Speak it with conviction, but don't club whoever you're talking to over the head with a club at the same time. Conviction and compassion. Tell people what the Bible says. But don't beat them up with what the Bible says. Can I say it one more time? Tell them what the Bible says, but don't beat them up with what the Bible says. Tell them what the Bible says, but don't say, so you're a no dirty, good, no, you're a no down, dirty, no good snake because you... No, just tell them, they know what they are already. Just tell them what the Bible says about issues. We have a divine mandate from Jesus to use our words to promote unity among God's people that bears tangible evidence that God exists and that there is good news in the Bible. The good news is that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to save sinners. That's the good news. So let's grow in our faith. By the way, just real quick, grow in your faith. You know what? Read your Bible. You ain't going to grow in your faith if you don't read your Bible. Come to church. Listen to somebody talk on the radio. Read Christian literature. Listen to Christian music. Don't listen to non-Christian music. I mean, no, there's some I like, under the boardwalk. I like it, but you got to get good words in your brain, so some of the non-Christian stuff has words that just will make you depressed. Ugh, but you got to grow in your faith. So you got to figure out ways to grow. If you don't care to seek the things of God, you're not going to grow in your faith. You're not. Part of growing in your faith is, giving the things that you have going on in your life to God. But then also use your words. Use your words appropriately. Because your words will bear evidence that God exists. And you got to do one more thing. Last thing, okay? Grow your faith. Use your words appropriately. You gotta live as an ambassador. Did you know you're all ambassadors? You probably didn't know that. Okay. No, you are. Cool. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know I'm long. I was long last week too, and nobody sent any threatening letters this week or anything to my house, or no death threats, no stones came through the windows. So I thank you for your patience last week, but I'm long this week too, and I said to my kids I wouldn't be, but I didn't actually tell them. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 20 and 21, you're ambassadors, every one of you. You're like missionaries. You know what a missionary is? You go to other countries and share God's word. You're ambassadors just like them. You reside in this country here, okay? But ambassadors or missionaries, they reside in a country that isn't their own. Yeah, no, if you're an ambassador, you're an ambassador to Tanzania or North Korea or South Korea or wherever they allow you to come in these days, okay? Yes, you don't live in your country. Missionaries don't usually live in their own country. So they're on these assignments. They're temporary, but they're incredibly important. Well, you're an ambassador today. Okay, you're an ambassador. You live in a place that's not your own, but you don't gain influence as an ambassador, but by disguising yourself as a citizen of where you are. If you're an ambassador to, I'll just pick a country, Germany, you don't go there and pretend to be German. No, you go there and say, I'm from the United States of America. I'm here, I'm representing the United States of America, and boom, boom, boom. So he doesn't gain influence by disguising himself as a citizen, but by serving as a representative from a different nation or a different kingdom. And that way he has influence in that country. His temporary country. We live in a great country. I mean, with all the stuff going on politics-wise there, I think at times it's easy to forget that, okay? But we're an exceptional nation that's been blessed by God. We have been endowed with opportunities that few nations possess. One of those opportunities is we've had a wide berth to give the gospel to different people groups. The world, really. We've had a chance to give the gospel, tell people to seek Jesus' kingdom first. And in this country, we've built a platform to send out missionaries to different countries. The history, that's just our history. But I'm going to tell you why you're an ambassador. I didn't get to that yet. I was talking about Germany here, okay? You know why you're an ambassador? Because if you're a Christian, you're already seated in the heavenlies with Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. Your permanent citizenship is not here. It's in heaven, the permanent citizenship. If you're a Christian, you're going to go there and you're going to live forever there. So that's your permanent citizenship. You just happen to be here now. That citizenship is distinctly different from your earthly citizenship. But our current assignment is very clear here in the scriptures. I'm going to read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is, while we're here, this is our assignment. Okay, ready? 16 to 19. It says, Paul says to the church at Corinth, he says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Now let's pause for a minute. If you're a Christian, you're a new creation in Christ. There's something of your old that's gone, and the new has come. You might be a work in progress, but that's what you are if you're a Christian. Let me read on, though. Next verse. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All of that through Christ. Remember on the cross, your faith in him. But our ministry is now one of reconciliation. You know, just to reconcile. It's to bring people together. Okay, let me read verse 19, though. It says, the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Wow, I love that. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation and telling people that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. God doesn't want to count our sins against us. He wants us to come to Christ. I'm just going to read on here. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, you're ambassadors. That's the message. We're all sinners. God doesn't want to hold it against you. Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins. Put your faith in him. Change your ways. Change the old. Become the new. Become these Christians. All is forgiven. All is forgiven today, tomorrow, and for eternity. And you have a place set in heaven. But I told you were ambassadors. Let me read on in verse 20 and 21 here, because that's the ambassador part. I'm going to pick up in verse 20, wherever that is. Let's see. We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's what I just did there, made the appeal. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Listen, you may not know much Bible, but if you can tell people that God made him, meaning Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us when he went to that cross, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Then you got the gospel message down. You got it down. Remember that verse right there. God made Jesus to go to the cross to take on our sin so that we put our faith in him. Our sin gets forgiven. Now we're in Christ Jesus. Our place is set in heaven. That's the message. That's the message of reconciliation. That's why you're an ambassador. That's why the church has to be different. That's why I'm talking about what I'm talking about. We have a responsibility. We have been called to minister the gospel of reconciliation. You have not been called to be a political group. It's okay to support a political group. It's okay to care about a political group. It's okay to care about politics. But the church is not, we're not politics. We're about saving relationships. See, when you change people, then people will start following God. That in itself will foster change. I told you tough times are coming. Well, the church better get to work. Because there needs to be a movement of God in this country. Because tough times are coming. So God's called us to live right now as temporary residents here, but we got to proclaim the message of reconciliation in the meantime, that people can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I've been tempted because, like, you know, I wasn't sure if, you know, those protest groups, you know, there's protest groups out there, right? You've heard about that, right? Okay. They're out now, even in Hyde Park where I go to work. Seriously, a heart attack protesting where I go to work. Okay, I said, man, you know, somebody comes up to me and they start cussing in my face and probably spitting at me. I'm just going to look at them and go, Jesus loves you. Okay, what am I going to do? You know, beyond that, other than take them down. Okay, and then there's the big fight. That's what they want anyways. Okay, not right over in that park. Seriously. Yeah, you think I would, it's not far away. It's not just over there in Washington, wherever it is. And, you know, want to get you to react, though. But now I said, Jesus loves you. That's the message. So you know what? But our, you know, church people, we're not supposed to blend in. That's the message today. If you don't think, if I need to sum this all up for you today, our responsibility is not to blend in. You know, just blend in and, oh well, whatever happens. And, you know, they say we shouldn't say this and we shouldn't do this and no. Be the church. Trust in God. Control your words. Be an ambassador. But we're not just to blend in to this temporary kingdom here. And we're not supposed to just segregate ourselves. You know what segregate is? You heard of segregation, right? You know segregation. We don't have that. Hopefully we don't have that anymore. Okay, but you know, where you have your places you can go and we have our places we can go. That's not what we're to do. We're supposed to mix. I hate to say that. Talk to people. How are they going to know about Jesus if we won't talk to them? But let's talk Jesus. Talk Jesus. Tell them what the Bible says. Because if you're going to just talk politics, it ain't going to do any good. Well, then you're just going to just agree to disagree. But if you're talking to somebody and say, well, can I just explain why I believe what I believe and I believe, and then you start talking about your God, what God says, why you believe what you believe, and you're being polite about it, right? You're being polite about it, okay? Because you're just telling them what you believe and you're not trying to disparage them. Because if you're going to disparage them, then you're just going to get disparaged back. And then that's exactly what we don't want. It will do no good. You're just like everybody else then. Now, I'm calling you today in the days ahead to live with Christian distinction is what I'm doing. You know what? God wants us to do that. He wants us to just, you know, be a little bit of light to somebody and just share a little bit about the gospel. That's how you change the culture. We'll let the politician people do what the politician people do. And yeah, you're going to vote for them. And yeah, I understand that. And you're going to be involved to some degree. I understand that. But in the meantime, we got to be Christians first. Do what Christians are supposed to do. Because God loves everybody. God desires that none should perish. So we got to seek out everybody for salvation. Across the political aisle. Okay? We can't just segregate and have our own little camps. You know? So, yes. I'm almost done. Elections do have consequences, and consequences are coming. Okay? So, if things stand as they go right now, you know, there'll be a new president on January 20th, 2021. Okay? He'll begin his term, and he'll enact his policies that he thinks he needs to enact, and that will impact all of us. So do we care about that? Of course we do, okay, and we should. But in the meantime, can we just advocate and honor for the Lord and serve our neighbors well? I'm going to tell you right now, it could still happen, but if by some chance... You know, if by some freaky chance, because any really weird things happen, if by some chance that they had to re-vote or something, about how, can you imagine that one? There'll be riots in the street. Woo, the riots is going to be. Okay. But let's just say that doesn't happen. I don't think it will. And President-elect Biden becomes president, okay? I want to tell you something right now. There is no election that holds God hostage. I don't care what happens. I don't care if somehow President Trump remains president. I don't care if Joe Biden becomes president. Okay, no matter what goes on, God is not held hostage by any election. God is way above it. If you don't believe me, ask Nebuchadnezzar, the guy who was out eating grass in the field. God restored him, and he praised the Lord later on. He thought he was special. He stood up in his palace and said, look at everything I've done. Look how wonderful I am. God said, really? How about eating some grass out in the field like a wild animal? How about growing hair down? How about your fingernails growing so that you look like a grotesque animal? That's what happened to that guy. But God restored him later on. God's not held hostage by any of this. No election's going to steal our peace. No election's going to upend our calling in Jesus Christ. Our place is still secure in heaven. And you know what? None of it changes our citizenship and our eternal home in heaven anyways. This is temporary residence here. The elections, it's just another opportunity for us to deepen our faith, speak to our neighbors, and live with holy distinction, different from every body else. All the time waiting for the kingdom to come. You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That day's coming. But in the meantime, you and I are going to get to work. We're going to build our faith up. We're going to speak to our neighbors well, and we're going to live with holy distinction. Okay, that's what we're going to do. Well, God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me and you know, listening, because you are so attentive and so good. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. And well, if you're troubled, I love it when people say they want to talk. Make an appointment with me this week, okay? Anything's troubling you. Maybe you just want to talk, I don't know. Lord, you know what? Thank you for all that you've done in Jesus, Lord. And I just pray for your church now, Lord, that, Father, we would come together as a body of believers, this local church, Father, and the corporate church worldwide, Lord, and we would just look to you for our leading, Lord. I pray that in that, Lord, that our faith would grow in a tremendous way, Lord. I pray that we would speak words that would just point people to you, Lord. And I just pray that there'll be times of pressure, Lord, that we would live holy lives in distinction, separate from other people, Lord, so that people will see us and say they are different and maybe have interest. Father, I pray in all this that people would be drawn to Jesus Christ and would proclaim him as their Lord and Savior. All God's people, hopefully, said with the pastor. Amen.